We're glad to see everyone this morning. Somehow Lydia's having her difficulties, and keep her in your thoughts and prayers. John still not doing too good, and encourage everyone else here to take our Bibles and follow along as we study our lesson this morning, which is entitled "Save Like Noah." Now, Peter said that we are. And over in 1 Peter chapter 3, beginning at verse 21, Peter said, "With some time we're disobedient, once the long supper of God waited in the days of Noah, while the ark was preparing, wherein few, that is, eight souls, were saved by water." Then he said in verse 21, "The like figure, whereunto even baptism doth also now save us, not the putting away of the filth of the flesh, but the answer of a good conscience toward God by the resurrection of Jesus Christ." We look at the American Standard Version rendering of this. The text says there that aforetime were disobedient, referring to those spirits that are in prison, those that were disobedient during Noah's day and are in the Hadean realm now in torment. He said, "When the long suffering of God waited in the days of Noah, while the ark was a preparing, when few, that is, eight souls, were saved through water, which also after a true likeness doth now save you, even baptism, not putting away the filth of the flesh, but the interrogation of a good conscience toward God through the resurrection of Jesus Christ." So this verse 20, it takes into consideration the eternal existence of Christ and the current state of the wicked who have died. Now, Jesus had always existed. He's eternal. And before the Lord ever came in the flesh, he was involved in preaching the message of God into the spirit of men. And Jesus preached to man in past ages through others like Moses and the apostles. And Paul referred to this. Well, Peter referred to this preaching by Christ in other forms, and Paul as well. And this is that preaching, that's divine revelation, the way that one gains access to be in one spirit unto the Father that will save us. So this text is clear and simple. Jesus was preaching in the spirit through the efforts of Noah during the days while the ark was being prepared, being built. 100 years would pass approximately while Noah prepared the ark and participated in the preaching of righteousness. The wicked of the world would have nothing to do with Noah's message of repentance. And at present, Peter acknowledges these wicked men who gave no heed to Noah's preaching or the Hadean prison. Well, Peter looked at that time in comparison to what is now the case. Jesus suffered for doing what is right. We sometimes suffer for what is right. We're talking about that this morning before or after class, that we'll always suffer in some way. We'll suffer for righteousness' sake, and Jesus will reward us for that. But through preaching, there will be a few saved, as were in the days of Noah. And at this current time, the disobedient spirits of those who rejected Noah's preaching remain in the spiritual pit prison, that Hadean world of the wicked, a place of torment, awaiting the day of judgment. God's spirit of long suffering indicates he will, for sinful men, do what is necessary. He's provided a way through which we can be saved from our sins, but we have to listen, we have to respond, we have to be obedient to the words. We can't reject it. Unfortunately, many, as opposed to a few, will reject the message. During Noah's day, only eight souls were saved. We wonder how many were lost. Quite a few. Just think about that. Only eight souls were saved by water. Now, Bob mentioned a passage of scripture this morning in 1 Peter chapter 4 in our class. He said, "The righteous shall scarcely be saved, or with difficulty." Now, when we hear about something that's scarce, it's hard to get, isn't it? Something that's hard to get, but with difficulty we'll be saved. The righteous will fearfully be saved, but we need to always strive to be those that hear God's word. So during the days of Noah, Ham, Shem, Japheth, and their wives were the only ones saved. And Jesus said over Matthew chapter 7, beginning at verse 13, he said, "Enter ye into the strait gate, for wide is the gate, and broad is the way that leads to destruction. Many there be which go in thereat, because strait is the gate, and narrow is the way that leads to the life, and few there be that find it." Then as we think of verse 21 there, he says, "Which also, after a true likeness, doth now save us." But which also, a term, applies to the water of verse 20. Peter explains that it is through water that man is saved today, like Noah was saved in his day. It is not intended for him to think that just the washing of the skin or washing of our bodies is what is being considered. But this event is rather an interrogation, that is, a searching of one's mind. That word interrogation means to integrate or question or ask, according to Moulton. So man definitely wants a good conscience toward God. However, sin taints the inner being. Water baptism is the answer to our interrogating God's questions or questions to God as to how we might be forgiven of our sins. Peter used that term, after a true likeness, which is one word in the Greek word, antipas, which means corresponding to, a copy to, a representation of. So look at a few other renderings of this particular section of this verse. It's a figure of the present, that represents the truth. So the Bible often expresses similarities from the Old Testament to the New, and forms of types and shadows and anti-types. And when Noah and his family were saved by water, the disobedient of the world were destroyed. Noah's water salvation is a type of our salvation today through baptism. So we're saved like Noah, aren't we? Think about it. See, we see that the salvation of Noah was a type of our salvation. The King James renders that the like figure, whereas even baptism would also now save us. The American Standard version, as we looked at, says, "Which also after a true likeness doth now save you, even baptism." The New King James version says, "There is also an antitype which now saves us, baptism." Then, in looking at the Revised Standard version, it says, "Baptism which corresponds to this now saves you." The modern King James Version renders that, "which figure now also saves us, baptism." And the Young's literal translation renders it also, "to which an antitype doth now save us, baptism." So we'll compare the like salvation of Noah with the salvation of Christians today. So first, Noah was saved by grace, wasn't he? Saved by the grace of God. And Genesis chapter 6, verse 8, the text is there, "But Noah found grace or favor in the eyes of God. Now God looked upon man whom he had created, and he saw nothing but evil. But there was evil in man's heart continually." Verse 5, "And God saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every imagination of thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. And repented the Lord God that he had made on earth, that he had made man on earth, and it grieved him at his heart. And the Lord said, I will destroy man whom I have created from the face of the earth, both man and beast and creeping thing, and the fowls of the air, for repenteth me that I have made them. But Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord." Today we're saved by grace, aren't we? We're saved by the grace of God. And Paul said in Ephesians chapter 5 or 2 verse 8, he says, "For by grace are ye saved through faith. And that not of yourself, it is a gift of God." When the disciples were debating those who said that except the man be circumcised after the manner of Moses, you cannot be saved, over in Acts 15, You see where the statement over in Acts 15 verse 11 is made by Peter referring to the house of Cornelius. He said, but we believe that through the grace of God, the Lord Jesus Christ, we shall be saved even as they. So we're saved by God's grace. In Ephesians chapter 2 verse 5, Paul said, even when we were dead in sins, have quickened us together with Christ. By grace are you saved. And so we are saved by God's grace. Paul said in 2 Timothy chapter 1 verse 9, he said, who has saved us and called us to the holy calling, not according to our work, but according to his own purpose and grace, which was given us in Jesus Christ before the world again began. So God's grace saved us, doesn't it? It's by God's grace that we have the gospel message. It's by God's grace and Noah's favor that the Lord saw. And he gave Noah the instruction that was necessary in order to escape the destruction of the world. And so by God's grace we can escape. The simplest of this world, we can be cleansed of our sins. We can be saved. By grace are you saved through faith. But we're not saved by grace alone, are we? Neither was Noah saved by grace alone. He said, for by grace are you saved through what? Faith, didn't he? See, over in Hebrews chapter 11, the Hebrew writer says, by faith, Noah, being warned of God of things not seen as yet, moved with fear, prepared an ark to the saving of his house, by the which he condemned the world and became heir of righteousness, which is by faith. So we see by faith Noah obeyed God. He followed God's instructions. He did all that God commanded him, so did he. It says in the latter part of Genesis chapter 6. And we are saved by faith as well. In John chapter 3 verse 16, the text says, therefore God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him, whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Jesus said over in John chapter 8, verse 24, he said, I said, therefore unto you that you shall die in your sins, for if you believe not that I am he, you shall die in your sins. We have to have faith. We have to have faith. Now, the Hebrew writer described faith this way. He said, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. So we have not seen salvation yet, have we? You see, the evidence, that's set before us, just like Thomas over in John chapter 20. And he said that if he didn't see Jesus, he wouldn't believe. Remember, the disciples said that they had seen Jesus. And over in John chapter 20, beginning at verse 26, you see where the text is there, and after 6 days or 8 days, again, his disciples were with them, and Thomas was with them. And then came Jesus, the doors being shut, and stood in the midst and said, peace be unto you. Then saith he to Thomas, reach hither thy finger, and behold my hands, and reach hither thy hand, and thrust it into my side, and be not faithless, but believing. And Thomas answered and said unto him, my Lord and my God. And Jesus said unto him, Thomas, because thou hast seen me, thou hast believed. Blessed are they that have not seen me and yet have believed. And many other signs truly did he, Jesus do in the presence of his disciples, which are written in this book. But these things are written that you might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing might have life through his name. So not a one of us have seen Jesus, have we? We see the evidence. We see the testimony. We see the eyewitness testimony. See, over in 1 John, we see where the disciples, they were eyewitness, gave eyewitness testimony of Jesus, didn't they? John wrote this in John chapter 1, verse 1. He said, that which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon, and our hands have handled, of the word of life. For the life was manifested, we have seen it and bear witness and show unto you that eternal life which was the Father was manifested unto us. So we have eyewitness testimony, don't we? You ever have somebody say, well, I won't see it, so I believe it? Well, they're being like Thomas, aren't they? In fact, if they believe in Abraham Lincoln, well, some will say yes. Well, have you seen him? We see testimony, don't we? We hear and read testimony. We see pictures. We were saved by grace through faith. We have not seen, yet we believe. Romans chapter 5, verse 1. Paul said, for therefore being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. And then in Hebrews chapter 11, verse 6, he said, but without faith it is impossible to please him, for he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Do we believe that statement there? Do we believe that? We must, because we're not saved by faith only, are we? And in James chapter 2, verse 24, James said, ye see then how by works a man is justified, and not by faith only. What kind of works? Works of faith. Not works that we devise. Not works that Jesus denounced over in Matthew chapter 7, verse 22, and 21 and 22, and 23. We're doing the will of the Father when we do works of faith. And that's what Noah did, didn't he? He followed the divine instructions that God gave him. So we see then that Noah then was saved by obedience, wasn't he? Again, Hebrews 11, verse 7. By faith, Noah, being warned of God of things not seen as yet, moved with fear. He moved with fear. Prepared an ark. There's his obedience. He moved with fear, prepared an ark to the saving of his house, by the which he condemned the world, and became heir of righteousness, which is by faith. How did Noah condemn the world? He obeyed God. He heard God his instructions. Remember, Peter or Paul was preaching. Peter said, Noah was preaching to those spirits that were in prison now. And they rejected it, didn't they? Do you see the difference? He condemned the world. He became an heir of righteousness. He did what was right by faith. In Genesis chapter 6, verse 22, the text is there that Noah obeyed God by faith. He did all things. He obeyed all of God's instructions and commands. He did all that God commanded him, so to do. Same thing is said in verse 5 of chapter 7. It says that Noah did according to all that the Lord commanded him. So he acted by faith. He acted by faith. See, we are saved by obedience as well, aren't we? Matthew chapter 7, verse 21. Jesus said, not everyone that saith to me, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven. But who will be those that enter the kingdom of heaven? He said, he that doeth the will of my Father, which is in heaven. Did Noah do his will or the Father's will? Did he do his will or God's will when he built that ark and followed those divine plans that God gave him? In Luke 6:46, Jesus said, and why call ye me Lord, Lord, and do not the things which I say? We have to do something? You do, don't we? We have to do something. In verse 47, he says, whosoever comes to me and heareth my sayings and doeth them, I will show you to whom he is like. He is like a man which built a house and dig deep and laid the foundation on a rock. When the flood came, the stream beat vehemently against or upon that house and could not shake it, which found upon a rock. But he that heareth and doeth not is like a man that without a foundation built an house upon the earth, against which the stream did beat vehemently, and immediately it fell, and the ruin of that house was great. Is our belief and teaching found on the rock of God's Word? Are we building on a firm foundation? If we obey God, we are. And the Hebrew writer said in Hebrews chapter 5, verse 9, and being made perfect, referring to Jesus, He became the object of eternal salvation. And all of them that do what? That obey Him. That obey Him. Obey Him, not do what you want to do. Not obey your will, but obey what God's instructions are. See, Noah was saved by water, wasn't he? No, Noah was saved from the flood of water by water. Think about that. Verse 20, again, of 1 Peter chapter 3, he says, "Which sometimes were disobedient when once the long suffering of God waited in the days of Noah while the ark was preparing, wherein few, that is, eight souls were saved by water." In Genesis chapter 7, verse 17, we see where the water or the flood was 40 days upon the earth, and the waters increased and bare up the ark, and it was lifted above the earth. So the water lifted up the ark and kept it afloat. Noah being in the ark. The water saved Noah from the evil world that had separated him. Just like our sins are washed away in baptism when we are baptized into Christ. In Genesis chapter 6, verse 5 through 8, the text says there, "And God saw that the wickedness of man was great in earth, in the earth, and that every imaginative thought of his heart was all evil continually. And repented to the Lord that he had made man on earth, and grieved him at his heart. And the Lord said, I will destroy man whom I have created from the face of the earth, both man and beast, and the creeping thing, and the fowls of the earth. For it repenteth me that I have made them. But Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord," the text says there. Then in chapter 7, verse 21, the text says there, "And all flesh died and moved upon the earth, both of fowl and of cattle and of beasts and of every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth, and every man and all in whose nostrils was the breath of life, of all that was in the dry land died, and every living substance was destroyed which is upon the face of the ground, both man and cattle and the creeping things and the fowl of heaven, and they were destroyed from the earth. And Noah did, or Noah only remained alive, and they that were with him in the ark." See, the water saved Noah. It separated him from the evil world. So today we're saved by water baptism, aren't we? Mark 16, verse 16. Jesus said and sent his apostles out and said, "He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, but he that believeth not shall be damned." In Acts chapter 2, those on Pentecost, when they were convicted by the preaching of the apostles, he said, "Men and brethren, what shall we do?" And Peter convicted them and said, "They had crucified the one that had been made both Lord and Christ." Jesus said, "Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of sins." Saul, the persecutor, was told to not to tarry by Ananias. He said, "Now why tarry? To arise and be baptized and wash away thy sins, calling on the name of the Lord." And Peter said, "The like figure, whereunto even baptism doth also now save us. Not the putting away of the filth of the flesh, but is the answer of his conscience toward God by the resurrection of Jesus Christ." Our Baptist friends deny that verse up and down. We're going to have to change. Baptism doth also now save us, to not save us. That's what they need to change it to. Make it fit their doctrine. See? Being in the ark made a difference, didn't it? What about those that were on the outside? As we already read, they were destroyed, weren't they? They were destroyed. In Genesis chapter 7, verse 1, it says, "And the Lord said unto Noah, Come thou and all thy house of the ark, for thee have I seen righteous before me in this generation." Verse 7, Noah went in, and his sons and his wives, and his sons' wives with him, and to the ark, because of the floods of the water, the waters of the flood. Then in verse 9, "There went in two unto Noah and the ark, the male and the female, as God had commanded Noah." Then in verse 13, "In the selfsame day entered Shem and Ham and Japheth, the sons of Noah, and Noah's wife, and the three wives of his sons with them, and to the ark." Verse 15, "And they went in unto Noah and to the ark, two and two of all flesh, wherein is the breath of life. And they that went in male and female of all flesh, as God had commanded him. And the Lord shut him in." know that they were in. Just think of all those words in him too, in those few verses. It's emphasized, isn't it? The ones in the ark were saved. Verse 23, and every living substance was destroyed which was upon the face of the ground, both man and cattle and the creeping things and the fowl of the heaven. And they were destroyed in the earth, and Noah only remained alive, and they that were with him in the ark. In the ark. So today, salvation is possible only to those in Christ. In Christ. Paul told Timothy in 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 10, therefore I endure all things for the elect's sake, that they may also obtain the salvation which is in Christ Jesus with eternal glory. If we think about Acts chapter 27, when Paul was on his journey to Rome by ship, a great storm came up, didn't it? Remember that? And they were told, or Paul had told them, not to go on that voyage because he knew that there would be problems. But beginning at verse 31, Paul said to the centurion and to the soldiers, as the ship was being tossed to and fro and how they tried to save the ship, he said, except these abide in the ship, you cannot be saved. There are some that are going to bail out. Sailors that were familiar with sailing. But Paul said, except you abide where? In the ship, you cannot be saved. What's the lesson on that to us today? We must abide in the doctrine of Christ, must it be? To have the Father and the Son. 2 John 9, John said, whosoever transgresseth and abideth not in the doctrine of Christ hath not God. He that abideth in the doctrine of Christ, he hath both the Father and the Son. Jesus said in John chapter 15, verse 5, he said, I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me and I in him, the same bring forth much fruit, for without me can do nothing. Jesus said also in John 14, verse 23, he said, if a man love me, he will keep my words, and my Father will love him, and we will come in unto him and make our abode with him. So where's fellowship with God? By being in Christ, abiding in his doctrine, being in his church. To those that gladly received his word, they were added to the church. In Acts chapter 2, verse 41, the text is there, then they that gladly received his word were baptized, and the same day were added unto them about 3,000 souls. Then in verse 42, it says, and they continued steadfastly. There's that abiding. They continued steadfastly. Where? In the apostles' doctrine and fellowship and in breaking of bread and in prayers. Verse 47 says they praised God and had favor with all the people, and the Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved. So they were in the church. They were in Christ, weren't they? Those that were baptized into Christ were added by the Lord to the church. We'll talk about that more tonight. So we see when we're saved when we're in Christ's body. In Ephesians chapter 5, verse 23, Paul said, for the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church, and he's the Savior of the body. So what body are we a member of? That's what we'll talk about tonight. It makes a difference, doesn't it? We'll talk about that as we consider what Paul said in 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 15, that we have to be approved of God, to still study to show ourselves approved of God. So being in the right church, a member of the right church, makes a difference, doesn't it? It makes all the difference, doesn't it? See, water baptism puts one into Christ and the church. In Galatians chapter 3, verse 27, Paul said, for as many of you as have been baptized into Christ, have put on Christ. Paul said in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 13, for by one Spirit are we all baptized into one body, whether we be Jews or Gentiles, whether we be bond or free, and have been all made to drink into one Spirit. So, as those that were outside the ark perished, Those outside of Christ and His church are forever lost. We studied this morning. I was saved like Noah. I was saved in the sense that Noah was saved by grace, the grace of God. He was saved by faith. He was saved by obedience. He was saved by water. He was saved by being in the ark, wasn't he? So today we can be saved like Noah, can't we? We can be saved like Noah. All spiritual blessings, all that are in Christ, He's blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ. We're baptized into Christ, Paul said in Galatians chapter 3, verse 27. So if we look just at some, just a few of the spiritual blessings, we have remission of sin. We have our sins washed away, as Ananias told Paul to do, to not carry it, but arise and be baptized and wash away thy sins, calling on the name of the Lord. We come in contact with the blood of Christ, Paul taught in Romans 6, 3, and 4. We become a new creature. We're children of God by faith in Christ. We put on Christ. We're sanctified and cleansed by the washing of the water by the Word, Paul told the Ephesians. We enter the kingdom, as John recorded Jesus saying to Nicodemus. It's an act of a good conscience, Peter said. We're added to the church, to the body of believers. The Lord does the adding. Salvation is in the name of Christ, Acts chapter 4, verse 12. There's no other name whereby we must be saved. We're saved as those in the first century were, and we walk the soul of life. So the alien sinner is in darkness, isn't he? The alien sinner is in darkness. In Ephesians chapter 5, verse 8, Paul told those there that they were sometimes darkness. But now are ye light, walk as children of light. How do they become the children of light? Through baptism. They are washed, their sins were washed away. So, what's the conclusion then? The conclusion is that baptism, water baptism, forever stands between the alien sinner, all spiritual blessings. So you were saved like Noah today. That's a lesson. If you're anyway subject to the Lord's invitation, we urge that you hang on these things. Remember, we must answer the call of Christ. We must obey the gospel. Sinners, alien sinners, who share the gospel, believe the gospel, repent of their sins, confess Christ, and be baptized in water for remission of sins. Bearing children of God must repent and pray. Perhaps their heart might be forgiven, and we as children of God must live faithful unto death to receive the crown of life that's been promised. But we're saved like Noah by water, as Peter said. Peter said, the like figure, for unto even baptism, it's also now save us. Not the putting away of the filth, but the answer comes before God by the resurrection of Jesus Christ. This time will stand and be seen. If your desire to make your wishes known and respond to the Lord didn't take you deep, we urge you to do so as you go and stand and sing. So stand while we sing.
My happy God. Good to follow.